Hello listeners, and welcome to the final State of the Union for 2020. This is your weekly breakdown of all things Scottish independence, and I am Stephen Payton. Without further ado, let's get into it. Kicking things off, we might as well start with the Brexit trade agreement. This week, the Scottish Parliament roundly voted to reject Boris Johnson's Brexit trade deal, with members of the Scottish Parliament voting 92-30 to deny legislative consent. The vote was, of course, entirely symbolic, as the Scottish Parliament has no actual power to stop Westminster doing whatever they want in this regard, even when it comes to legislating in devolved areas. After all, and say it with me, power devolved is power retained. Almost like independence could have helped us avoid this situation, yet here we are. But for how much longer? In the end, only the Tories backed the deal, which isn't exactly a surprising turn of events, though it was at least interesting to see Scottish Labour attempt to spin why they were not backing the deal while Labour MPs in Westminster were. The First Minister called the agreement a Boris Johnson-imposed democratic, social and economic calamity for Scotland, which is hard to disagree with. She went on to single out specific MSPs who have all round failed to stand up to their London bosses, including Ruth Davidson, who said she would rather resign than support a differential deal for Northern Ireland, a similar claim of which came from Adam Tompkins. Of course, both voted for the deal in Holyrood, despite delivering exactly that. The Erasmus programme too was raised, while the former Scottish Tory leader Jackson Carlaw's words came back to haunt him in the chamber. Carlaw had previously said that Erasmus is something which all parties agree must continue post-Brexit. But of course, that's gone now too. Given that the Scottish Tories haven't achieved anything in the Scottish Parliament and are roundly ignored by their bosses in London, it's hard to see what the actual point of them is anymore. And we'll see how the rest of Scotland feels in that regard at the Holyrood elections next year. So where does the deal leave us? Let's start with the Scottish fishing industry, since that's been such a big feature of the Brexit debate. A betrayal by the UK government on the Scottish industry. That's Mike Park, Chief Executive of Scottish Whitefish Producers Association. Hugely disappointing. Elspeth MacDonald, Chief Executive of the Scottish Fishermen's Federation. And finally, Barry Diaz, Chief Executive of the National Federation of Fishermen's Organisations, saying Boris Johnson was willing to sacrifice fishing and that the industry will be extremely disappointed. We're also expecting a cut to Scotland's GDP of up to 6.1%, which is significant, though it's worth mentioning that GDP alone is a pretty poor measure of how a country is running. And Scottish businesses, particularly those in manufacturing, food and drink, agriculture and forestry, are expected to be hit hard by the deal. It's a grim end to a grim year. But what it does, more than anything, is highlight the urgent need for leaving the UK, a kingdom overseen by insular Tories and an ineffectual opposition, unelected peers and a wildly undemocratic voting system. Scotland does have another option to this eaten mess. John Curtis, the polling expert, has actually suggested the SNP could functionally hold Westminster to ransom until a future referendum is granted by gumming up the works. Though in his eyes, this would require waiting until 2024, when the next UK parliamentary elections take place, and he predicts there will be a hung parliament. I'm not sure many will be happy with the idea of another 4 years of sticking with Conservative Britain. Whatever the route though, I suspect that a path will become clearer in 2021, even if a second independence referendum is not held then. It has been a dark year for many, but I do believe that there is light in the near future, not only with regards to Scotland's independence, but the coronavirus pandemic too, and many other things. And do remember that if you are struggling during these winter months, that it's always right to reach out to those close to you, or to whomever can help. And if you are looking for a bit of Hogmanay cheer tonight, you can look to the work that Yes Kirriemuir has been up to. The local Yes group is encouraging folk to tweet tonight with the hashtag For Scotland, in a bid to encourage everyone to look to the new year as a chance to continue building the kind of Scotland that we all want to see. They've asked that people share an image with a slogan beginning hashtag I resolve, followed by what you plan to do for Scotland. But that does bring us to an end for 2020. It's a year I'm sure we'll all be glad to put behind us. But every day, the light lasts a little longer, and we're on our way to something great. Happy Hogmanay, everyone, and I'll see you all again in the new year.